taking a dead forest you can pull in your book. Brother Randy, here's Ruth. You get Judges. All right, one more thing, bro. All right, let's go ahead and begin tonight. John did this here. Everybody got a sheet here. And on that word, K-R-I-N-O-N-I-A, he did a little deep study in it. In relationship to that word that we talked about, in relationship to the Lord's Supper, and memorial, proclamation, and communion. And, you know, I've been thinking about that word. That word means to participate, to share, to have something in common, to be a part of. And Brother Frazier did some too. And I may get him to make a copy of that too. You can tie it in with that. But this is what I'm going to say, and then we're going to go to John. See, when you think about worship, John 4, 24, and I want you to think about this in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth in relationship to how we worship. You know, when you think about the singing part of it, Ephesians 5:19, as we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord, that is, why do we do that? We do it, Colossians 3:16, to teach and admonish one another. Now, to teach and admonish one another, you got to be here, amen. The whole church got to be here in one place in order to get it what? Done. That is, if you're going to sing with the Spirit, you're going to sing with the understanding, 1 Corinthians 4:15, right? That is, that proper spirit got to be here, that you should know that word communal, that is, that you want to be here to be able to share, to participate with the saints of God when the whole church come together in one place. So I'm saying that to say this here. How can you worship God in spirit and in truth if you don't do it in the proper spirit of John 4? That means your attitude, your understanding. Am I right? See, you look what John's saying here, and we're going to look at it real quickly. It says that word, Greek word, occurs 20 times in the Bible, primarily meaning fellowship. Right? You might want to tie Acts 1, 7 through 9. Because see, if you don't have fellowship to be in the light, as Jesus is in the light, because we're heirs of God, right? And jointly heirs of Jesus Christ, that's the reason why we can't get along with one another. Amen. Amen. Because see, we're not walking in light as he's in the light. That is, we don't have nothing, like you say, in common, Acts 2, 4 to 4. That we have a commonality, and that commonality is Romans 8, 16, 17, that we're heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus, right? That word fellowship there, Acts 2, 42, that means come to near, it's the same word, but it means to give. See, that's what we do when we come, when we make melody in our hearts to the Lord, one to another, that we teach one another, that we admonish one another, that we sing with the Spirit. We memorialize together. We proclaim together. We commune together. Question, if you're not here, how can we do it? That's the reason why the Bible said the whole church come together in one place at one time to do it. Amen. If you're going to do it in fellowship or in spirit and in truth. He said the first occurs, Acts 2:42, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, of prayers, and Christian fellowship is a key aspect of the Christian life. Believers in Christ are to come together in love, faith, and encouragement, and that is the essence of koinonia. Now, if you want to write on this sheet, it's a beautiful sheet, write 1 Corinthians 11 down there, and denote why the whole church need to come together in one place, and you're going to use verse 18, you're going to use verse 20, and you're going to use verse 33, okay? And the reason why I keep reiterating that, because that's the whole point. That's the reason why the word is used. But it unifies the church. Together we stand. We strengthen one another, amen, by our fellowship, amen? See, we strengthen one another. We fight the wiles of the devil because of our commonality, amen? See, it's easier for us to fight together than to fight one at a time, amen? You understand what I'm saying? And that's the reason why we do that. And then he gives scripture like Philippians 1:2, 1-2. If you have any courage from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, under the word fellowship with the Spirit, tie both of them together. See, your fellowship got to be with the Spirit, amen. Your fellowship got to be with the Word, amen. See, your fellowship can't be will worship. It can't be ignorant worship. It can't be vain worship. It can't be unknown worship. It got to be acceptable worship, which is in spirit and in truth, amen. And it must be done in accordance to the what? Spirit. Amen. You can't be in fellowship outside the Spirit, amen. If you're fitting the law in one point, you get up the whole what? Law, am I right? He go back up here and use the phrase, back all the way back up, he used the phrase apostolic doctrine. See, we are followers of Christ, amen. They gave them power, amen, to what they bind shall be bound, what they loose shall be what? Amen, am I right? Mark 16:20 to confirm the word, right? So now we got the perfect law of liberty, amen. So you start talking about apostolic doctrine, that's what we follow. Apostolic doctrine is the book, amen. That's the Spirit, amen. Can't add to it, nor can you what? See, but that fellowship got to come with the Spirit, am I right? It can't be outside the Spirit, because the Spirit is the light in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is what? Light, amen. And Jesus Christ is the light of the world, am I right? And we're commanded to let our light so shine before men if we're going to have fellowship with the Spirit, all right? That's good, man. If any tenderness and compassion, then making my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and one purpose. All right? And I'm going to read them, but I'm going to let you read it. I'm going to get excited about this paper here. And I don't need to get excited before I start teaching the class. But that's good stuff. Put it in your book, okay? But see, it ain't going to do no good to put it in your book if you don't understand what I'm saying. Am I right? See, that's the whole purpose. Why are we here tonight? We're here to encourage one another, right? We're to build one up because we all have sinned, amen? And we fall and show the glory of God, amen? They rewind the church from house to house, what? Daily, because they needed that encouragement, right? Because the devil was busy, right? Go ahead, brother. That's it. See, you use the right word there when you use the word I. Know what people say, I. It ain't you. It ain't about you. Amen. It's not your will, it's God's will, right? See, it's not what I want, it's what God wants, amen. Everyone with the study, show ourselves approved unto God, amen. See, what you got to do, get out of the way and let God get in the way, amen. See, the problem is let me tell you something. When Paul, in Acts 20, when he was talking to the elders of Miletus, Ephesus, when he told them, when I depart, he said, grievous wars will enter you among the flock. From your own self, men would arise speaking perverse doctrines to draw disciples after them. Anytime you leave God's word in one inch, you got a sowing problem. I'm not talking about SOW. Sin in the end. That's what 1 John 3:4 says. Sin is transgression against the law, regardless of how small it may be. So I'm saying that to say this here. What has happened in the church today, people have taken the word and they want the word to fit them. Amen. Instead of us fitting the word. See, the word is there, right? We have to be transformed to the word. Am I right? We have to be molded to the word. Use the word, we have to be like-minded. Philippians 2:5 says we have to have the mind of Christ. So when you start saying, like you saying, my brother, when you start saying what I want, what I think, what I see, you already bogging up the wrong tree. Because your thoughts are not God's thoughts. Because we already have the proper spirit, and that's the perfect law of liberty. Now, I'm going to go a little bit further with that. The devil knew, and the devil knows, that if he can get us diverted through carnal justification, because that's what it is. Anytime you go outside the book, it's carnal justification. When your justification don't match up with God's spirit, you want us to believe what you want versus God wants. Amen. See, and whenever you do that, that's repercussions. Galatians 6 is one of the most strongest verses to me in the Bible because, see, it fits all of us because we all go through this sowing process, whether it's right or whether it's wrong, because we all have sin, right, and fallen short. And that's the reason why, if you understood what he's saying here in relationship to worship, your worship would be in spirit and in truth. But if you don't, and I'm a firm believer, the more and more I look at it, the more and more I believe it, is that when you look at apostolic doctrine and look at what the early church did, because they understood what worship was and what worship is, that they knew that they came together one time, the whole church, for a specified purpose. That is to do all five items of worship. And once you do that, don't need to repeat it. Because we done it, right or wrong. Why? Because the whole church was here. Now, if for some reason you decide not to be here, that's between you and the Lord. But you knew you should have been here, right? Am I right? Now, for what reason you are not here, I don't know. But you do know that the Bible says that on Sunday at 11 o'clock, we're going to do all 5 hours of worship, right? It's your responsibility to do what? Be here, right? And once we do it, amen, we already don't worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. Now, if the brethren want to say, well, y'all want to come back for additional study or have another study time, that's fine. But that's all it is. Now, you can call it worship, but you ain't doing the 5 items of worship. Amen. Because you already done that. Am I right? That's what you're talking about, right? See, we already participated in that, right? We already share, right? See, we already associated together in that issue. Am I right? And that's the point. Am I right? All right? All right. Go ahead, bro. Put the battery. All right. Y'all with me? So, if you haven't got a copy of that, hey, get you one. Get Brother Bradley them one. That is right there. And this is a good article here. And put it in your book. All right? Brother John. Thank you, Brother John. Where you at? All right. Thank you, Brother John. All right. Now, I'm going to let you say something, then we're going to jump.
Yeah.
Y'all understand what I'm saying? Before you start. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you really? Mm-hmm. Go back and look at that word. Mm-hmm. Go back and look at that word, memorial. Go back and look at that verse, that proclamation of your faith. Mm-hmm. Go back and look at Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 4:14-15, James 5:13. Understand what they mean and tie it all together. Because if you don't get it, you ain't going to worship God in spirit and truth. How can you worship if you don't understand how to do it? Your mindset not there. You understand what I'm saying? Am I right? And by the way, I did email y'all those things today. And y'all should be getting them. And along with that, and some little notes and lines. And I ain't make no error on those lines. Those lines there for a purpose. All right? And you'll see it when you get home and look at the email. Because when I send an email, I may send you a scripture, and I may say Ephesians, and I may leave it blank, but I'll tell you what it is. And I want you to find the scripture so you can reiterate your mindset, right? That you may transform your thinking, am I right? You understand what I'm saying? So when you look at it, all right, print it out and work it, okay? Go ahead, my brother.
Well, I had been reading, studying on Galatians 2 because it's one of my most important segments in there. It's when Paul withstood Peter to the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off when John Mark, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but it starts off when John Mark goes back to Jerusalem and don't walk with him, and then Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement over it. And this is the explanation of it. When you go to Galatians, the second chapter, by verse number 15, I believe that's what I got, Mark, no, 14. And this is all we're talking about. And this is what we have to, all of us brothers and sisters have to key in on. And what Paul said right here in the 14th verse, he said, but when I saw that they walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel.
Truth.
Stop right there. That's why we're here. We're not here to waste time. We're here to become changed creatures before the Creator who created us based on the truth of the gospel. When one apostle had to withstand the other one because of the fear of walking with Gentiles and being caught and being ostracized instead of believing like the Lord has said, because them people had to be changed. We got to be changed too.
That's right.
And that's why we have to, like John said, like Brother Davis has pointed out, and like you've been talking about the whole time, this is for the truth of the gospel so we can be what God would have us to be today.
That's right. Thank you so much. Look at this sheet here. Tie this sheet in with your study. I know you looked at that word. I gave it to you. If you got an additional note, Brother Frazier got some super scriptures. And we'll tie that in. Right. Okay. Now, let's go ahead again, John 13. Now, one more thing. If you don't get emails on Tuesday, you know, I don't know where they go. And let me know. You know, I was telling my wife the other day, I say, you know, there's so much out there with the sky view, what all of them called? What's that ocean thing called? The other one they call that you can send stuff to, what's it called? Cloud, yeah, clouds, that's it. Clouds and skies and all that stuff up there. Skype. And when you send that stuff up, I don't know where it go. Only thing I do. But if you don't get emails, you'll get them every Tuesday. But if you don't get them, email me, call me, let me know. Only thing I do, punch the button. Okay? And but if you're getting them and you're reading them and you like them, just say, I didn't get it, and we'll resend it, okay? And a lot of people say, well, you didn't do it. Well, only thing I do is just put the X back and hit send. And I still don't know how it's done. But people do get it. Okay, so if you don't get them, let me know about that. If you know anybody that want to be on our list, please let me know. It's great teaching, man, great teaching. All right, let's go to John 13. Okay, verse 13, that's where we are, I think. We talk about Jesus now. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. I am all Jesus. I am Master and Lord. Not anyway, let alone. Not that. Amen. You know what? Keep on reading. It's just sad, ain't it? That we live in a world today that so many people the devil has beguiled, amen, have hoodwinked, have fooled to believe. Just because white smoke come out of a chimney. White smoke came out of my truck this morning. I'm serious. But I just don't understand. If you then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, so also you to wash one another's feet. That's that fellowship we have. Amen. But see, we can't wash one another's feet. We can't be humble to one another until we understand that we are the light of the world. Here we go again. James 4:7. See, if you don't submit, amen, to resist, to draw, to be humble, to be abased, to be exalted, see, you're not going to be able to show no humility to me. This is more just a once-over thing that written the fourth time, written for our learning, for us to realize, brother, we are our brother's keeper, amen. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs of Jesus Christ, amen. You know what? If the church understood what what benevolence really, really is in relationship to the union or the communion that we share one toward another, we wouldn't need the help of the world, amen, because we'll help one another, amen. Am I right? The Bible talks about that. If a man don't take care of his own, he denies the faith, he's worse than the infidel, am I right? Number one is family responsibility to take care of your loved ones, and that prevail, you got brothers and sisters. Well, why should we? Because you are my brother, you are my sister, we're heirs of God, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Same way that Jesus washed their feet, he said, now if you don't understand me washing your feet, you're not going to be able to wash nobody else's feet. And that's the same concept. See, we're not strengthened by the word, amen, through the power to have our minds transformed to lift Jesus up through the power of the word, number one. Well, how can we disrespect being brother in here but expect to make the heaven, amen? You understand what I'm saying? And that's what he's talking about. But for it to work, we got to have a humble spirit. Everything that we got to be done. Because literally everything that we have, God just letting us use it temporary until he calls home anyway. Amen. Am I right? Brought nothing in the world, and we're going to leave without nothing. Amen. That's just a fact of life. We're stewards. Stewardship is manageability. God gives us, amen, good jobs. He gives us homes. Well, how well we manage it? Husbands, the head of your wife, is Christ the head of the church? How well you manage your family? We're going to be held accountable for that and being good stewards of what we have. See, but in order for the work, what Jesus is trying to teach them is the act of humility, because, see, Jesus knew that the hour has come for him to go back to heaven. His mission complete. But these men was going to have to be back here, even though they're going to be endowed with the miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they still had to have an act of humility. And that same humility had to work in our life. See, you got to be humble whether you're going to obey God's word. And the reason why I'm saying that, because there are so many things that pull at us, don't it? Things in the world, they just pull at us. You were running well, but what hindered you from obeying what? There are hindrances in our life. You remember I told you, write down those things that beset us, that are hindrance to us, that get in our way. See, you have to be humble to get that out of the way. Amen. Because see, if you're not humble, if it's all about you, if it's all about what you got, all about my, look what I've done. Well, number one, well, you don't need God. Because you got everything, amen. That's the mindset. That's the mindset. So what Jesus is trying to teach them, see, yes, I wash your feet, but see, this is a lesson that because I wash yours, you should wash one another's feet. Well, the same thing. Romans 8:16-17, we're heirs of God, we're joint heirs of Jesus Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, am I right? And because of that, Christ is the head of the church. We are a part of his family. We are part of that royal priesthood. Brethren, we need to be concerned about our brethren. Amen. One more point before I move on. You know what? We allow brothers and sisters too much leeway when sin comes. Amen. Sometimes we cough. Sometimes we tell folks, you better go to the doctor. You ever seen people do that? Oh, we said, ooh. See, we're more doctor-oriented now than we did a long time ago. See, a long time ago, we coughed. You remember a long time ago, we played and cut our feet? Mama put some white meat on there, tied it up, put a little kerosene on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We didn't know what the doctor was. Am I right? Talking about dentists. We didn't know about no dentists, did we? See, all y'all young folks, this is new school. Going to the dentist, getting your teeth cleaned 2 or 3 times. We ain't nothing about no flossing. I guess that's really, I ain't got none. And the point that I'm saying, for that physical body, don't we? We'll run to the doctor. We'll do this. We'll do this. We'll do this. Now we got to eat the right thing. Now we got to go to Whole Foods, you know, because food world ain't good enough no more. See, everything got to be just right. you want to take care of that physical body. What about the spiritual body? That we allow people, See, we allow people not to be our brother, because when you sin, you're not our brother, you're Aaron's brother, amen. Am I right? Now you may come, you may be here, but until you repent, your worship is in vain. Am I right? Because we allow people too long to do what they want to do, and we don't do anything about it. It should be that if you miss a church service, I need to be on the phone. Where you at? What can I do to help you? Amen. Because we don't want you to miss two. Amen. Because see, you miss two, eventually you're going to miss three. Because the devil got his foot in the doorstep. Am I right? Then sooner or later, Sunday's just like Monday. Because it don't have no significance anymore. Because see, you have forgotten, your mind has been de-transformed to conform with the world, and the world just don't work no more. Amen. Because now it's all about you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Anytime a brother who failed to understand, memorialize, proclamation, communion, fellowship, that is, what he's missing when he don't come with the whole church, see, he lose everything. So what's saying is God is not. Now y'all can write in the room. You understand what I'm saying? See, and what Jesus is saying here, well, see, when you lose everything, see, you don't have humility. Because number one, you hadn't submitted. And if you don't submit, you ain't going to resist. And when you don't resist, you can't grow. Am I right? Then you can't be humble in order to be lifted up. See, we are those ambassadors. See, we are God's royal priesthood. We're heirs of God. We ought to let our light shine. We ought to salt earth. And that's what we are. See, the world can't save nobody. The saved got to be saved by the church. Am I right? You ever thought about that? All those people. Oh, look at it. Oh, man, all that crazy. Amen. We need to be looking at Jesus. Put some Jesus in our life. And that's the point. You got your hand up, brother? Oh, okay. And that's the point. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And this is what Jesus is trying to get them to see. Brother, we got to be humble. And when we're humble, brother, regardless of what I got, what you got, it all belongs to us, amen? Because we got fellowship not only with Christ, but we have fellowship one with one another because we all our brothers, you know, because we all do the same thing. As you say, and I like that phrase, go to Acts right quick. I look at it all the time. Acts 2. Yes. On Acts chapter 2, I want you to look at that word in verse 44. See, verse 44, verse 40, 1, and then we read on down 44. Then they that gladly, see, receive his word. See, we're baptized. You got to be glad about it. And the same day, we're added unto them about 3,000 souls. Amen. Hey, quiet. Sunday going to be Lord's Day, right? It'll be Lord's will, right? Yeah. Hey, right. If your spirit were glad, and you had a glad spirit, and you were happy that the Lord let you see one more Lord's Day, would you put anything over the Lord's Day? Y'all see what I'm saying? Do you hear what I just said? So the only conclusion is that when you put something over Christ, your spirit may not be one that to receive the word of God with meekness. Right or wrong? Sir? You understand what I'm saying? You see the picture I'm trying to paint? See, it says here, then they gladly received the word. See, faith comes by hearing by the word of God, amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, amen. Study to show yourself approved unto God, and working need not the same, but we write and hand the word of truth. So when you glad receive the word because you study that your body can become a temple of the Holy Spirit, guess what? Your spirit going to be right. So all the conclusion is, well, maybe people are not putting nothing in through study in order to have that spirit to be glad as they were when they were baptized, are glad to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. Did y'all hear what I just said? You know it got to be a reason, right? People just don't do without a reason, right? People say, well, how can I? Well, how can I? Well, if y'all not going to get along something to eat in time, well, I'm going to miss it because I got to work. Well, number one, well, we know that. Did you know, too, that the Lord wants to worship on the Lord's day, too? Amen? Am I right? Well, what's more important? You understand what I'm saying? Am I right? But that mindset should be in Romans 8. My God shall supply. We can do all things. All things work out together for good, right? To them who love what? The Lord, right? Y'all with me? I just want to try and get you to think. See, and until people see that, I tell you folks, and y'all correct me wrong, worship will not be done in spirit and in truth. Because it got to be done in the proper spirit. And nothing can supersede it. Right or wrong. I don't care how important it may be. God, number one, right? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the what? Amen. Now look what it said. And then verse 42. And they continue. Who are they that continue? They that gladly receive the word. Am I right? See, you can't continue if you don't receive the word, right? See, you can't do it if you can't continue, right? See, you got to gladly receive it. You got to get it. It got to be there. It got to be that mindset to be like-minded to be able to continue. Amen. Am I right? John 8:31. If you continue my word, indeed you shall be my disciple. You shall know the what? Truth. And truth shall set you what? See, you got the word got to be there. Don't never downsize the power of the word. I tell you all the time. I don't know what you've been doing up until this day. I don't know how you study the Bible every week. I don't know how you not picked up your Bible since Sunday. But I tell you one thing. You know, you're going to know too. He said, God knows. Yes, he do. If you don't pick it up, you're going to see the difference in your life. Because what you sow is what you're going to reap. Now let me tell you something. When you act a fool, people say, I don't know what's wrong with him. I do. Ain't nothing in the temple. Am I right? Because see, if something was there, so that mindset going to be there to be able to transform that when sin enter, it's going to be like Jesus. It is written. Isn't that what he told him? It is written. So when they gladly receive the word, they continue. Continue in his word. Continue in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking the bread, and in prayer. Now, this is the first day of the week, right? And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done to the apostles. Underline that word fear. And read my underline the word fear, that word respect, right? See, you respect the Lord enough. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Amen. See, you respect the Lord enough that if you're born again, 1 John 5, you will obey him, amen. Am I right? And you'll keep his commandments, am I right? Through love, am I right? See, that's what that word fear means. See, a lot of folks, the devil don't took fear out of them. Over on the world, we don't respect God no more. Everybody want to do their thing, don't they? Am I right? See, what the devil does, all right, women, you can be equal to men. You ain't equal to men. That on tape, too. Amen? You can't be equal to man. God didn't make you that way. Am I right? That's on tape. Am I right? And because you can't be, when you try to be, you sin. Amen? Amen. Y'all with me? So what's wrong with the world? They want equal pay. They want equal this. They want equal this. Equal this. Equal this. You can't have equal this here. Because God made you for a reason. Amen. That has to be a helpmeet for your husband. Am I right? See, and that's what it is. Amen. But anytime you step outside that, what God wants you to be in, see, number one, you can't continue. Amen. Because you ain't glad to receive the word. Now, people don't like this here. Huh? See, people don't like teaching like this here because, see, it go against the grain. It go against what other people believe. You know, when I said that Some of you looked up at me like, I can't believe he said that. See, you know, I'm taking a speech class, and I learned the word scan. They say, you look around. I've been looking around, but I didn't know what the word was. But now I know what the word is. You know what I'm saying? Eye contact. So the point that I'm saying, you got to stay within God's word, because see, you're going to sin in a whole run. You're going to sin in a minute because we're glad to receive the word and have all things in common. You go up already down to verse number 44. The Bible says here, that they hear because they have fear. Here that all that believed were what? Y'all with me? Underline that word together. In one place, the whole church, amen. For one purpose to be able to worship God and what? And all things what? Common. Underline that word common. See, we had everything in common. We had everything together because we feared the Lord, because we continue when we received the engrafted word, amen, to be able to save our soul. That word again, John, we participate together. We share together. We associate together, don't we? Why do we do that? Because we have received the word with gladness to continue, and that brings fear to respect who God is. That is to have all things as one together so we all can become. See, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to have to get some more set on as far as dealing with the communion upon the first day of the week, because it's done upon the first day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm looking at the fact that if a brother has to go to work, mm-hmm. he can't make it that morning.
Mm-hmm.
If he does go to work,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that he is deliberately not coming.
Mm-hmm.
So why would it not be right for him to be able to take communion in the evening when he gets there?
All right, let me ask that question. Good question.
On the first day of the week.
Good question. Good question. What's more important?
I understand what.
No, you're saying. Answer the question. You asked the question. Now you ask the question.
Yeah, being at church is more important, but at the same
that's
time,
what you just said. Stop right there. Don't go no further. If you go any further, you add to it. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to get you to think. See, let me tell you something. When you see it the way apostolic doctrine did it, that's what we're going by, right? We can't go but three ways, right? Either command, or example, or it's inferred. Right? And what I mean by that, either got to be a command. Mark 16:16 is a command. Ephesians 5:19 is a command. 1 Corinthians 14:15 is a command. Right? See, 1 Corinthians 11 is an example of how they did the Lord's Supper. In according to Matthew 26, when Jesus instituted it the night before he died. Right? So over 1 Corinthians 11, because they was abusing the Lord's Supper by trying to make it out a common meal, he instructs them the proper way to do it. And in doing so, he used that language. That is, that when the saints come together on the first day of the week, Acts 20:7, that is the whole church. He used the phrase whole church. Then he said, in one place. Then it goes down a little bit further. He said, now this is so important now that if a brother can't be here, y'all tarry for him. You wait for him. Because we want all brethren to be here to commune together. That word commune, look up the word. It means to participate as one, to associate, to share. Now, every one of us here on the sound of my voice know if we live, next week gonna have a first day. Right? And you know that at this church at 11 o'clock, we're gonna do all 5 hours of worship. We're going to do it. Now, of course, I ask anybody, what is more important that you're going to put over Jesus, that we're going to come and sing and celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection? We're going to study. We're going to lay by the store. We're going to pray. Now, you tell me what's more important. Now, I've seen people take off for graduations. I've seen people take off to go if they fan their hurt. I've seen people take off of anything they want to take off of if that's what they want to do. if that's what they want to do. Now you tell me what's more important than what obeying God's word, that when the whole church come together in one place to do it, that it's not binding. That's the only thing I'm saying. Now, if it wasn't in the Bible, if this was opinionated, if we can go to 1 Corinthians 11, 18, 20, 33, 1 Corinthians 14, 35, if we didn't see it there as an example of how they did it, brother, I wouldn't have no grounds to stand on. I go a little bit further with you. Go back and Google. It's not Bible, but just Google Sunday school. If you Google it, nobody will tell you about it. It was added with the Missionary Aid Society as a denominational doctrine that later were added to the religious world. Just Google it and look at it. That's what they'll tell you. And what I'm trying to say, that on the first day of the week, that's the only thing we did. We didn't do nothing else. This thing that we do called Sunday school, a Sunday night service, a Wednesday night service, I mean, you can't find that nowhere in the Bible. Now, we do know that the church came together, you know, every day from house to house. They came for spiritual edification. That's the only reason why we come. But that's different than the first day of the week. The first day of the week, we got a special thing to do. And those are 5 hours of worship. And like I tell the brethren, see, I don't have no problem coming back at night for additional study. That's all it is. Amen. But it was, since you brought it up, it was my decision, I wouldn't even come back. I'd be through. Because we've done it. Amen. And no need to do it no more. Sean, you remember this hymn? You remember when y'all were little? And mama, you back there, you remember too. We'd have dinner every night at 6 o'clock. You remember that? And we'd tell y'all that we're going to eat at 6, right? We did. The whole family ate at 6. And now if you don't be there, you weren't going to eat. And y'all be at the park. Well, maybe I can hear you running. You had to be there to eat. We had family time, amen. We sat around. Dogs cooked every day. And we ate. Now, you weren't there. It wasn't fixing me no plate. Now, she may have did it when I went to sleep. I don't know. Did she? Anyway, but we had a rule. I mean, and seriously, don't you remember that? Y'all ain't saying nothing, but don't you remember? Yeah. And they knew it. Now, that's not, it's just an example. So what I'm saying here, brother, you know, go back and look at it. Go back and study it. Amen. And that's just the way you see it. But see what happened here. See what happened right now. See, somewhere down the line, someone else added an eating service. And then what people start doing is abusing it. And what people have done is say, well, if I can't come in the morning, I come in the evening. But see, that ain't your choice. See, that ain't your choice. See, you don't have a choice Sunday morning or Sunday night. You don't have one choice. That's when the whole church come together in one place. See, and that's what happens when you add to God's word, Brother Brian. So you start adding to God's word, then you start giving people choices. You understand? It's like Noah. See, God told him specifically what? Gopher, right? See, now if you say, well, maybe you can do a little oak. Gopher oak. He didn't say that, did he? He specified, didn't he? You understand what I'm saying? See, on first Exodus 12, when we talked about the Lord's Supper, right? We looked at that, didn't we? He gave special instructions about unleavened bread, preparation for unleavened bread. See, the lamb, the day, everything, how it needs to be what done, right? Did they have a choice? Well, what do you think we got a choice? And that's the only thing that I'm saying. But here we go again. Men have added to God's word. And because they've added to God's word, that give people liberty to do what they want to do. But you don't have no liberty to disobey God's word. You just don't do it. God legislating, God tell you how to do it. And y'all can say what you want to say. You can talk about it, but that's the truth. Right? But here we go again. That's what we've been talking about, right? Jesus says, I wash your feet, you wash my feet. Show us what? Humility, right? See, if you don't humble yourself to put God first, then you're going to do what you want to do. Amen? Because you're going to do what convenience you. See, sometimes we got to make sacrifices, amen. Am I right? All the time to please God. Am I right? See, you just got, John said, you got to get stuff out of the way and get it done. I know that. I'll tell you something, man. I've been talking to John about this. See, some of your big old churches who want to be conservative churches, that's what they move towards. See, they'll do the Lord's Supper in the evening time. You know why they do that? Because, see, they need that money. Because church so big, got a lot of people, maybe hospital workers, a lot of people that work evening shifts, whatever it may be. And they, man, I can't come in the morning time. I'll let me rephrase that. Not that they can't. That they don't come. So they get them the option to come back on Sunday evening. Because guess what? If you knock the Lord's Supper out, you got to knock out contribution too. And they need that, don't they? To keep that money going. But here we go again. Here we go, brother. I'm telling you. Until you submit, you ain't going to see it. See, you know why you're not going to see it? Because you're going to want your will. And you know what, Randy? It's hard to change something you've been doing so long. It really is. It's hard. It's just difficult to make changes in your life. And probably that's the reason why. Okay? Go ahead.
Well, and I guess the reason I was saying that because, like, when you said somebody working at the hospital and they can't come. Now, on our end, out of love for our brothers and sisters, if we had that situation and they couldn't come, then would it be a problem changing the worship time?
All right,
because it still would be upon the first day of the week. See, we kind of saying, well, then just quit your job. But what I'm saying is, since it's the first day of the week, Paul preached under midnight.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, mm-hmm. would it not be a problem changing the worship time so our brother or our sister won't be lost?
I don't have no problem if y'all want to change with my everybody be here at the same time. But the whole church got to be there. The whole church got to agree that that's the appropriate time everybody can come. It don't have to be at 11 o'clock. It could be at 9 o'clock at night. Long as the first day of the week, right? It'd make no difference. I mean, what's best for the congregation? I don't have no problem. You know, if that's the best time for everybody to come at one time, the whole church, let's do it. I don't have no problem. Then one more thing. You say, we talk about love. Brother, if I love you, you think I'm going to sit back and let you do something going to cause you to lose your soul? You know what I just said? Mm-hmm. See, how can I say I love you, that is, that I'm going to change God's word to fit you and cause all of us to go to hell? That's not right. See, if I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. Am I right? So that's the reason I stand up and preach truth. Don't it? See, in spite of, people say, well, you know, that negative preacher, our law is so negative, he just preached too hard. You can say whatever you want to say, I ain't going to change. Well, nobody don't like me. It don't make no difference. Jesus like me. Amen? Now, the brother can rub me off, I don't care. I've been ran off from a church before. I ain't stopped. See? But see, you can't change God's word to fit me or fit you. Either through a command or an example or as inferior. And that's just the way it is in the Bible. And I just don't see no other way. Amen. Now I see what man added to it. And when you add to God's word, that's the problem you're gonna have. Because then you begin to break down the authority of the command, and then you begin to legislate your authority versus God's authority. And we just don't want that. Amen? And that's the whole point. All right, we're 10 minutes. Go ahead, brother.
I just wanted to point out that over in Acts, like I spoke on, those men were a little bit more than convinced. You know, some of us are convinced to be members of the Church of Christ and not convicted. Uh-huh. Those men were cut to the heart.
That's right.
And you look at Acts 4 and 5, those men, they had jobs to go back to. They had home, but they stayed. And that's what got Ananias and Sapphira in trouble. They stayed for the cause of Christ. They had jobs to go back to. They weren't a bunch of people, homeless people, that decided to obey the gospel. They had stuff, but those men were cut to the heart.
That's it.
And they made the tough decisions that sometimes we're not willing. I mean, we're not asking people to quit their job to become a member of the Church of Christ, but sometimes tough decisions don't have to be made.
That's it.
In order to do God's will.
That's right. See, this is what we're talking about. That's the whole premise of the lesson, right? See, Jesus said, hey, I wash your feet so you can wash the disciples' feet to teach us humility. See, God's word ain't going to penetrate unless we are humble enough to receive it. Because, see, word can't go into a haughty spirit. You understand what I'm saying? We got too many examples. You understand what I'm saying? So the point that I'm saying, that's what we read in Acts 2. It said that when they gladly received it, am I right? Mm-hmm. They continued, right? To the point fear came on, right? Mm-hmm. See, till they respected God's word until they had all things what together because they were one. Mm-hmm. And that's what the word would do. The word will either get you going right or get you going wrong. Mm-hmm. Either word going to get you going right and you're going to fear or you're going to get mad and leave. I'm telling you, the world will run folks off. I'm telling you. And the reason why it'll run people off is because the basic of the word is submissiveness. Right? See, it's amazing. We just went through two phases of worship, right? Most people don't know that. I'm just telling you that, man. See, look at that word John gave us today. Here it is right here. You go back and look at that word. Just this word alone, to participate, to share, to associate together with. That's what this word means. That's what we do when the whole church come together. Amen. That's what we're doing now, right? Now, it ain't my fault the whole church ain't here. But they knew we were going to be here, right? Am I right? Now, whose fault is it that you're not here? It ain't mine. But see, that's a decision you're going to have to make. But see, you can't make that decision until the word of God transform your thinking. Mm-hmm. See, it got to transform. Until you do it, and the devil know that, and that's the reason why the devil used other devils. Mm. Amen. To go against his word to stop you from obeying God's word. I think Romans 16, 17 used the phrase, because you are simple-minded. Smooth word and fast speech deceive the hearts of the what? Simple. See, you are simple-minded. And that is, see, you don't let nobody determine your spirituality. Now, you heard what I said tonight. You should be going back checking out what I'm saying.
Amen.
For your own self. Amen. Make sure I'm telling the truth. Amen. Mm-hmm. Peter would have a fit if Peter was alive today to see what they're doing and called himself the first one. That's just plain crazy. But the devil knew that, am I right? And that's the reason why hell was prepared for the devil. He know he going back to hell. And a lot more people in the church, out of the church, all around the church going to hell with him. And you know why? Because people don't take God's word and study for themselves, number one. And number two, they're not willing to make proper decisions. You with me? And when you don't do it, the word gonna get you. Okay, last comment, we're gonna have to go.
Brother, when we look at John 4:23 and 24, it talks about the true worshipers and worshiping in spirit and in truth. And we have the effect of this word that in Acts 2 and 38, the pricking was, men and brethren, what shall we do?
Mm-hmm.
But then we go to Acts chapter 7. They gnashed his teeth and stoned him to death.
That's right.
So that lets you know the word of God don't affect everybody the same because it depends on their spirit.
That's right.
And so we have to realize that when we submit and we have that condonia,
that's it.
we will properly respond in the right way. But we're going to always have, we have Bible example ever since the first century of how the word affects folks.
That's right.
And we have to abide and make sure that we're on the good side instead of the bad side for the truth of the gospel.
Well, look at all the apostles. Why do you think they all got martyred? Why do you think they all died the way they died? You know, every one of them was murdered for the cause of Christ. Read Revelation 1. John said he was on the island of Patmos for the testimony of the Lord. Josephus tell you, if you read his account, they say that they had took John and they literally had took him and literally dipped him in tar and fell of him. That people didn't, he was so disfigured that people didn't know who he was for the testimony of the Lord. Amen. So you look at Stephen, then you got to talk to Stephen, right? And you look at all the apostles. You look out there to say, you read back the persecution that the church went through in the book of Revelation. That's really right. It's apocalyptic in nature, written in signs and symbols.
Amen.
The reason why is because, see, they had to write in signs and symbols because, see, they didn't want to get in the hands of the enemy. Because they called the penalty was death. Can you imagine for the cause of Christ that they take hungry lions and don't feed them for 2 or 3 weeks? And they got all us up together and take us to Legion Field and let the lions out to eat us?
For sport.
How would you like to be a part of that? No, but you did it for the cause of Christ. They say, Josephus say, they literally took women and cut babies out of their stomach. But they died for the cause of Christ. But we can't make it a simple decision to worship God in spirit and in truth the way God wants to do it? Something wrong with that.
Amen.
I mean, how would you like to be standing behind the Apostle Paul or any of the apostles who was beheaded, hung upside down, cut their head off for the cause of Christ? And then you're in the judgment line, and then you want to go to heaven, but you don't want to obey God to come to church. Hello? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Come on. And if we didn't have the example, and I tell you anytime, ain't nothing in the world. I don't care if you make $100 an hour was more important than the Lord thing.
Because
what we going to do Sunday, if it be the Lord's will, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, let me tell you something, it's an honor. Because you could be in Rome. Amen. Do you hear me? And we say,
amen.
And we know we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And all about around you throwing their hand up in vain. Come on. And something more important? I don't see it, brother. Then you say, well, we should have love for our brother. Yeah, I'm going to love you enough to tell you right. Because, see, if I don't tell you right, the blood's on my hand.
Amen.
See, I'm going to be held accountable.
Yes, sir.
Am I right? Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord going to say, well, why you didn't tell them that? Why you sit back and let them do that? See, didn't I tell you earlier we allow people to do too much?
Mm-hmm.
Why that brother ain't been in church in 3 weeks. Why you letting them get away with that? Every brother, faithful brother, need to be there. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
See where your sister is, where your brother is. Amen. They might run you out the house, but that's all right. You did what you're supposed to do. You discharged your spiritual responsibility. Why? Because if that brother died, guess what, y'all? He lost. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want somebody to wake up in hell? Amen. Because you're afraid I'm going to hurt your feelings? Your bald man talked to y'all worse than that, and y'all stay.
He don't care.
Amen. Y'all know he do. He get all up in y'all face. Tell y'all what y'all better do and point his finger. Grown folk talking to you like that. Then you look at me and say, well, I got to stay. And you don't get mad, do you? You ain't walking off. But Jesus, all he wants you to do is just submit to him. Resist the devil so you can draw to him, so he can humble you, so we can enjoy abundant life. And then one more thing. Do you not believe what he said? That we can do all things? my God shall supply. All things work out together for good to them that love him. Do you not believe that? That God ain't going to let nothing happen to us if you do his will. That's the key word. All right? I'm out of time. Well over time. Woo. Boy, well a class. Hope I ain't run nobody off. All right. Hey, Saturday, 9 o'clock, we'll meet at Ryan's for a good fellowship, great fellowship that we're going to be having at Ryan's. And at 11 o'clock, we're going to meet here, and we will be door knocking at 11 o'clock. So come on out and be with us Saturday for Ryan's. Or if you don't go to Ryan's, come out and go door knocking with us on Saturday. Saturday, Sister Thelma's birthday.